You know, there are mornings like today where I get to that place and I say to God, you know, I've done the best I can. This is what I've got. And I always hear this voice, are you kidding me? That's all you got? This is one of those mornings that I just pray that God, you will help me get out of the way, and that we all might be startled by that grace that meets us in that place where we need that grace the most. Amen. Our mission statement is creating spaces of grace to cultivate hope, healing, and purpose. Today I want to focus and spend a little bit of time on spaces of grace to cultivate healing. And what if the grace that we need is the grace to actually face our pain? Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. Pain that is not transformed is transmitted out to others or turned in against ourselves. Spaces of grace to cultivate healing. Our mission, our work, our life together here in this church. The way God uniquely, the Spirit, God's grace, uniquely seeks to show up in and through us. And what if the greatest gift that we can give each other is actually the gift of our woundedness? You know, in 25 years of ministry, the one thing I've learned in 25 years of ministry, I've learned very little, but the one thing I've learned is that beyond the shiny surface that we all like to present to one another, everyone has a story. Everyone. Everyone is in pain. You, me, maybe it's emotional pain, maybe it's physical pain, relational pain, psychological pain, spiritual pain. Pain is the inevitable package of living life. I mean, I love Anne Lamott, who creates this wonderful image that I think is so true, and that life is one great big emergency ward. And we're all in it together. You might be the one offering graham crackers and orange juice today, but tomorrow, reality says you could very well be the one needing the care. And we're all in that space together. In ancient times, the ancient Hebrews used to have these little ceramic cups, and these cups, they were called the cup of tears. And the one whose cup of tears was filled the fullest, is that right English? Proper English? The one whose cup of tears was most full, that's the one that was admired. Because they were the ones that had the biggest heart. To live fully, to love fully, is to experience pain. In American Sign Language, the way you proclaim the name of Jesus is you take your right, do this with me, take your right index finger and place it in your left palm. Take your left index finger and place it in your right palm. And let's do that back and forth. You are speaking the name of Jesus. So to proclaim the name of Jesus is to touch his wounds. To proclaim the name of Jesus is to touch his wounds. Nicholas Wolsterhoff, a theologian, tragically his son died in a mountain climbing accident, and he said, the wounds of Jesus are his true identity. It is through the wounds of Jesus that we know who he is. He went to the grave and he rose, he says, still with his wounds. Visible, tangible, palpable. Thomas, when Thomas was in that place of doubt, needing to be assured that there is hope. You know, all his dreams have been shattered. He needed to be assured there was hope. Nicholas Wolsterhoff says, you know, Jesus didn't give him an intellectual argument why he should hope. What did he do? Touch my wounds. The one who broke the bonds of death and rose, rose with his wounds. And Wolsterhoff says, in some great mystery, it is the wounds of Jesus that allow me to go to that dark place that I don't like to go, and face my own woundedness, my own pain, and trust that new life is possible. Leonard Cohen, what did he say? There's a crack in everything. That's how the light enters. Cecily Saunders, as I mentioned, the founder of the hospice movement, encourages us to ask a very simple, powerful question. How are you within? How is your soul? No, really. This isn't the, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. How are you within? And she says, the paradox is, the mystery is, sometimes just being able to acknowledge our pain brings healing. What if this place was a sanctuary for our pain? A space of grace where we didn't have to pretend, we didn't have to deny, we didn't have to avoid. We could honestly ask ourselves, how am I within? Richard Rohr says, pain that is not transformed, pain that is not acknowledged, held, transformed, that pain is transmitted. That pain is transmitted to others, or that pain is turned in on oneself. We do harm out of our pain. We do harm to ourselves out of our pain. We do harm to others out of our pain. On a personal scale, we can certainly see it on a national scale. We do harm out of our pain. When you see someone doing harm, a great question to ask, where are you hurting? I was talking with someone this week who said to me, I don't want to come to church. I don't have it all together, and I can't pretend that I have it all together, and I don't think I can pretend that I have it all together. And I know I'll be a slobbering, sobbing mess. I don't know why it always happens. I just get too embarrassed. And I fear that I'll be judged. If this is not the place where tears are understood, Where can we cry? God knows there's enough places where we have to impress, enough places where we have to prove, enough places where I have to prove myself, prove my worth. It's exhausting. How beautiful it is, perhaps, to have a space of grace where I can just be and not have to pretend. I was speaking with somebody who's part of our caregiver support group, an incredible group of folks in this church that care for one another. And she was saying to me, it's healing to be in a space where I'm not the one, even if it's just for a few moments during the week, where I'm not the one to have to hold it all together. To be in a space where I can acknowledge I'm tired. Where I can acknowledge I'm scared. Where I can acknowledge I'm angry. You know, this is not the way life was supposed to be. To be able to acknowledge loss. And to trust that no one's going to judge me. And that no one's going to try to fix me. They will simply say, often without words, me too. Here's the mystery. It is wounded people that offer the grace to wounded people. The healing wounded people need, wounded people like you and I. The great mystery is the healing that wounded folks like you and I need. That grace often flows most freely through other wounded people. Our scripture today, from the Gospel of John, and speaking of woundedness and pain and recognizing our own mortality. Most scholars suggest that the Gospel of John is not a historical document. Most scholars suggest that the early Christian community was trying to illuminate the mystery and the hope and the power of Jesus Christ. So if we let go of trying to understand this as historical and ask the question, is there something deeper here? What might this be saying today to my pain? John 5, verses 1 to 8. Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to just simply lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been lying there for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there. Learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, and Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" "Sir," he replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, you know, there's always somebody who just kind of jumps in the line and gets in front of me. And Jesus says to him, "Rise. Pick up your mat, take your mat, and walk." And at once, the man was healed. He rose, picked up his mat, and walked. Now you have somebody here who's been lying for 38 years. thinking that, you know, healing is somewhere over there. You know, over there, when the water stirs, the legend says, if I can somehow get to the water, I'll be healed. Now again, if this is maybe not history, but something deeper, why 38 years? Don't you think it's a bit odd that the writer was that specific? You know, 38 years. Now, why didn't the writer say, you know, this guy's been there a long time? In Deuteronomy 2:14, it says the Israelites, when they fled from Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness. For how long? 38 years. So I wonder if the writer was somehow linking to that time in the wilderness. That maybe this person by the pool, his own wilderness experience is somehow analogous to the wilderness experience of the Israelites. Now, do you remember the Israelites? You know, there they were. They complained a lot, didn't they? You know, they were whining a lot. They were complaining a lot. They were always blaming Moses. And they weren't able to recognize the manna, you know, the grace that sustained them. They didn't recognize that grace. And here you have this man complaining a bit. You know, no one's here to pick me up and carry me to the pool. You know, there's always somebody in the way. Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. One of the most universal ways that we transmit our pain is through blame, is by projecting our pain onto others, by blaming others or other things, by finding a scapegoat. That if we place our blame, our pain, if we place our pain somewhere else, we're immobilized. Psychoanalyst Carl Jung says, the great spiritual truth that we all must face eventually is that you and you alone own your pain. No one else. Others may be part of your story. Events may be part of your story. But you alone own your pain. And if you want to live, he says, the fullness of life that is intended to live, you need to acknowledge and recognize and own your pain. So I'm wondering if that's what Jesus is getting at when he asks that ridiculous question. Do you want to be well? Now I can imagine this man has been lying there for a long time going, well, you know, the thoughts crossed my mind once or twice. You know, can you imagine saying, well, you think? That maybe Jesus is getting at something deeper here. He doesn't say, do you want to be cured? He says, do you want to be well? Wellness, healing, wholeness. Same root word. Healing isn't about restoring to the way things were before, repairing and restoring. Healing is about leading into wholeness and something new. And Jesus says to him, rise. The Greek word here for rise is to arouse from sleep. Wake up. Awaken. What's interesting, the same Greek word here that's translated as rise, that same word is used for resurrection in other places in the New Testament. So it seems to me that Jesus wasn't just simply giving this guy new legs, but a new life. Parker Palmer says, what does Parker Palmer say? Such a beautiful quote, and I think it's such the epitome of healing. Is the life I am living the same life that wants to live in me? Is the life I am living the same life that wants to live in me? You know, it's scary to leave the wilderness, that place that's familiar, even if it might be limiting, and even if it might be dysfunctional, even if it might hold us back. It's still hard to leave that place. But Jesus is calling this man to something new. What's beautiful, he says, pick up your mat. And why did he do that? Again, if we understand the story symbolically, his mat is the symbol of his woundedness. He's not saying, well, leave your woundedness behind and pretend this hasn't happened to you. He's saying, pick up your mat. Take your woundedness with you because it's part of your story. But this time, your wounds will no longer immobilize you. In fact, your wounds will be the gift that you need to be a healer to the woundedness of others. I want to leave you with that beautiful image. Do you remember the image of the water bearer with the pole carrying two pots? Would go down to the river to bring water back to the master's house. One of the pots was perfect. The other pot had a deep, deep crack. So when the water bearer would come back, the pot with the deep, deep crack, most of the water would be spilled out alongside. And this particular pot turns to the water bearer with incredible shame. You know, I'm not worthy. All my water spills out. And the water bearer with great compassion says, this time when we come back from the river, notice the flowers along the side. And notice that the flowers are only on your side. Because I'm well aware of your brokenness. I'm well aware of your flaws. I'm well aware of your cracks. For the last 2 years, I've been planting seeds. And every day for 2 years, you've been watering those seeds. And they become flowers. And I bring those flowers to grace the master's house. And the master takes those flowers to the sick, to the lonely. You see, without your brokenness, there would be no beauty to grace this house. Without you being who you are, without your brokenness, there would be no beauty that would grace so many lives. Spaces of grace to cultivate healing. What if the greatest gift we give to each other is the gift of our own woundedness? What if we recognize that we are wounded healers? May it be so.